The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. What a night. Doubleheader, football, baseball results. We'll talk baseball with Mark Borchardt coming up later on the show. Todd Wright will join us to talk Survivor. He's doing a Survivor pod this year. So we'll talk to him about that. We have our power rankings updated.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say 9 and 10 are a little difficult, 10 especially.
It's a big change from week one. Week one, it was like, how do you fit all these good teams into top 10?
I only had two differences. My omissions turned out to be okay in week one. And we also want to do, because we touched on this yesterday about last team to win a football game. So last remaining winless team, last remaining undefeated team. We want to take a look at those markets because we talked about yesterday how the Cardinals look to be the overwhelming favorites in the last winless team market now that they've banked, quote unquote, two losses as you look at their schedule moving forward. But there's some other ideas that I think I have on both, and maybe you do as well, mm-hmm. or at least an analysis of that market. We'll do that as well. I want to say something. There's so much I want to say about the NFL, too, because I'm hearing some things out there. We want to touch on this one bet that some folks made. First, though, last night, the doubleheader in the National Football League. We'll get another doubleheader this coming Monday as well. We have a few of these this year. New Orleans at Carolina last night. New Orleans gets it done. Kelly, they only get it done. By the way, did I say hello to you this morning? Was that very rude of me?
No, you didn't.
Hello,
okay,
Kelly Bidlin.
You know, I just chime in anyways. Come on.
I know. Still, just I overran it.
How great was the doubleheader, though? Because this game that you're talking about sucked.
Sucked.
So it was great to have another option to go to.
Yes. Well, New Orleans, Carolina, the game that, and let's repeat that, sucked.
Sucked.
Carolina ends up losing by only 3. New Orleans wins it 20-17 as the old back door was open. Most people, this was the push in the end, but I will say this. I mean, this is a testament to the power of shopping. Treasure Island, let's just use Vegas casinos. Treasure Island had Carolina plus 3.5, little old Treasure Island down there. They had plus 3.5. The South Point, my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, they went to 3.5 in this game for about 90 seconds at 2:30 p.m. Pacific yesterday, and people crashed that for 90 seconds. That could not have been too fun for Chrissy and those guys. That's the power of shopping. So I'm sure they took some huge bets at that point. It's one of those things, too, where this is such palinko. The Saints defense, who held all game long, then they go into this prevent mode. Carolina goes 75 yards down the stretch. Bryce to Thielen from three out. Then a two-point conversion from Bryce Young to Thielen, 20-17. The onside kick failed, and the game was over, basically, at that point when New Orleans ran out the clock. The biggest play of that game needs to be talked about, though, which was it's a 6-6 game. Eddie Pinheiro just kicked a 54-yard field goal for Carolina. It's 3rd and 7 at the New Orleans 28 for the Saints. 7:22 left in the third quarter. Derek Carr deep to Chris Olave on the left sideline, on the far sideline from our vantage point, for 42 yards. Olave catches it diving off the bounce. He keeps his concentration, corrals the football, then gets up and spikes it. And fortunately for the Saints, the ball then goes out of bounds because Carolina, one of the Carolina defenders, was trying to grab the ball. And by the way, 7 plays later, then Tony Jones Jr., kid off the practice squad, goes in from 2, and New Orleans leads for good at that point. But that was, and I'm told, because I didn't have the audio on, I'm told Buck and Aikman said nothing, but literally the entire game could have flipped on Olave with this unbelievable catch, then getting up and just spiking the ball for no reason.
Yeah.
No whistle.
That was, I saw it, didn't have the audio on, but saw it. Yeah, that was a big one. It was a night full of some disastrous decisions and terrible, terrible turnovers and plays. There's no doubt about that.
Well, what you're referring to, obviously, is game two. What an on-brand win for the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. Not only their 21st in a row at home on Monday night, but bookended by two defensive touchdowns. Not exactly bookended, but the very first play from scrimmage for Cleveland, obviously. Deshaun intended for Harrison Bryant. He leads him too far. It tips off Bryant, goes to Minkah Fitzpatrick. He collides with Bryant. The ball bounces up. Alex Highsmith grabs it, goes 30 yards to the house, 7-0. Pitt 9 seconds into the game. Pittsburgh's up. The Steelers' offense, Kelly, never got past the 31-yard line. They only had the big play, picket to Pickens, 71 yards to the house, late in the second quarter, or at least past the midway part, mark of the second quarter. But that was their whole offense. Otherwise, they were pretty anemic. And then the big play, because Cleveland had retaken the lead late, 22-19. But 2nd and 9 at the Cleveland 20 for the Browns, 7:06 left. Highsmith involved again. He sacks Deshaun Watson. Watson fumbles, and T.J. Watt, 17 yards to the house, and Pittsburgh held up 26-22 the rest of the way. Probably the most surprising thing I heard all night: first ever defensive touchdown for T.J. Watt.
Yeah,
I knew he'd scored on special teams before, I guess, but never on defense, which is a surprise.
Yeah, that was a shocker. Yeah, and he easily scooped and scored there. Yep.
But the Pittsburgh defense, I mean, the most on-brand win ever, 26-22. And the real sort of, you know, beyond the fact that the Steelers get to 1-1 and the Browns fall to 1-1 in what is probably going to be a tight AFC North the rest of the year, the Browns lose their standout running back, Nick Chubb. And they do so on the drive that eventually put Cleveland up 10-7. That was in the second quarter. It was 1st and goal at the 8. 5-yard runs, you know, 34 seconds into the second quarter. Injured at a replay so bad that they wouldn't even show it on Monday Night Football. And that's it. This is a guy who busted up his knee in 2015. I believe it was his PCL and his MCL. And
yeah, all three in college.
LCL, yeah.
And it sounds like there's fears. It's the exact same thing.
Same
again.
Knee. Yeah. Do you believe in this Monday Night Football curse that everybody's tossing out here?
No.
Aaron Rodgers last week. Do you know what the last Monday Night game from last year was? Damar Hamlin as well. So three in a row now where it's just been awful.
Yeah, I think you need, like we talk about with trends, probably need a little bit more to happen
more of a sample
before
side.
It's a curse. Yeah.
Well, curse trends are a little quicker to get there, Kelly.
Yeah,
I think everybody knows that. It's a curse trend.
It's a curse.
Takeaway from both of these two ball games, anything macro?
Man, I don't really think there's much to take away besides all four of these teams seem to be pretty much what I expected them to be. I mean, do the Steelers really win that game? You know, if Nick Chubb goes out, you don't get two defensive touchdowns. I don't really know. You know, but like you say it all the time, this game's all about turnovers. It's like 3-point percentage in the NBA. All you need to know is two. I mean, if I told you two defensive touchdowns, we would have already known the result of this game today. I mean, that doesn't take away the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is really, really battling some troubles right now. Look, that Cleveland Browns defense is great, but you know, do either one of them have enough offense to really carry these teams into the playoffs is the question mark. I think even if you had lost this game, but you still had Nick Chubb available, you'd be still feeling good if you're the Cleveland Browns.
I think
Browns.
That's a great point.
But it's a double loss,
good.
Right?
Although
division game.
Although Jerome Ford was great in his stead, but no one thinks that he's as good as Nick Chubb.
I mean, was he though? Right? He had that one like 70-yard carry.
Yeah,
and then
but then
it's
he
like,
had another one that was great too. He had two really solid.
Right, so like
plays.
Take away those couple chunk yeah. plays though. And it's a bunch of small yardage games.
But your point about the Steelers, I mean, I think the Steelers thing is right? 255 total yards, 70 on that one play.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you're sub 200 without that.
You never got into the red zone.
You never got to the 30.
To the 30.
You never got to the 30.
And what was they lost 7 yards in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Like, Kenny Pickett, I mean, the jury is still very much out there. Maybe it's the play calling. I don't know. I was mentioning to folks last night, Najee Harris, I want to like him
dude,
more.
You know I'm a big fan, and it's like, what's happening, man?
Great kid, by the way. So that's it. And we have one additional team now to the 2-0s, the New Orleans Saints, one additional team to the 0-2s, Carolina. We'll talk about again those two markets, last undefeated, last winless teams here in a moment. A couple other things I just want to mention from week two. One is this notion, because we talked about it on Guessing Lines yesterday, the Rams kicking the field goal at the end of that game against the Niners, which gave the Rams the cover, but honestly was sort of, and we talked about it, we were like, well, why are you kicking the field goal there? It makes no sense. And we sort of left it at that. And what I'm hearing from folks through the verse, right, Twitter verse, media verse, whatever it is, they think it's one of two things. One, he knew the spread and actually wanted to cover.
Yeah.
Or two, he was doing it for tie tiebreaker purposes, I would like to propose a third option for everybody out there, because I know we're in this world where everybody loves a good conspiracy, and we're so close to the sun on betting and gambling that we're convinced anything that happens that way is something nefarious. Option three is this. He just botched scoring twice, right? He needed to score twice. They were down 10. The clock was going. He's calling plays. And in the end, he intended to do a field goal and a touchdown, or a touchdown first and a field goal. And the way it worked out, too much time ran off the clock. They weren't exactly close enough to kick a touchdown. And he just kind of went through with it, even though it was brain dead at that point. Like, I just don't think everything's a conspiracy.
Okay. A, I'm always that guy to try to calm people down. Like, well, there's no conspiracy here, okay? Do I think you are right? Yes, I think you're right. I think that McVay was just lost count of time and lost control of this game near the end and didn't even know what to do with 4 seconds and just ran out the field goal team. I really want to believe that there was no more thought in it than just that. That it was like, all right, whether you screwed this up,
I do believe it.
But Gil, of all the weird things I've seen in the NFL that involve a point spread, man, is this one way up there. You had no chance to win the game.
But let's say the point spread wasn't that. Let's say it wasn't 7.5, right? Let's say it was in this case 6.5.
Sure.
Right? He still needs two scores.
Yeah.
But
the difference is he's throwing out the offense instead of the field goal.
But that's my point. He would have done the exact same thing. We'll never know. But my point is that everybody thinks they know and they're jumping to that conclusion. And I'm just not willing. Like, we're giving these guys so much credit.
I hate that you're making me be this guy.
You're the conspiracy guy.
You're making me be this guy.
Kelly Bidlin, conspiracy guy, everybody.
I think you're right, but I'm going to say we'll never know if he would have ran out the offense.
And because we'll never know, everybody gets to talk about it like it's some massive conspiracy. We'll come back. Last winless, last undefeated. Those markets are fascinating. We'll look at the schedules. And oh boy, did FanDuel lose some money. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Too many to name. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Phil Weiss, No Filter 37. The chances of Watson being named anything other than defendant is zero. Oh, look at Phil Weiss. Jordan Pagel. Calvin Ridley winning the most ambiguous award in gambling after coming back from a suspension for gambling seems like the most gambling thing ever. I think you're right, Jordan Pagel. Jesse Welch. Kelly Bin Laden nails Ohio versus Notre Dame. That's got to be a first, right? No disrespect intended. I think it is.
I think it is a first. I don't remember. I think I've been close, like a point and a half before with it, close to it. I don't think I've ever hit one right on.
I'm getting ready to give this fly these headphones.
Yeah, I saw it.
Here, do the show.
Saw it around you.
If you want to do the show that badly, fly. That Pepsi guy, Will, what happens if the Jets make the playoffs? Any thoughts on Zach Wilson at 100-1 for comeback player of the year? Oh, I have a thought, and that is no.
No, not at all. I mean, maybe if you're looking for that market next year in the XFL, USFL Reunited League or whatever, yeah, he might be in a good option there.
Oh, and Double Down 23 and Jason Stark both point out you left out Charlie Ward, two-sport athlete.
I obviously had an agenda for the list, okay?
You wanted to put Singleton in there?
I needed to work Chris Singleton in there.
I had to put Chris Singleton in there.
And I wanted to work in Buster Posey because I thought, you know, Giants fan over here. Yeah.
Three-time champion.
And Burt Reynolds. You always got to mention how Burt Reynolds played football in like the 50s.
And Charlie Ward, downgrade for anti-Semitism. Sure. Great stuff. Okay, let's talk some more college football because we haven't had a chance to with Guessing Lines yesterday. Pete Futak joins us from College Football News. How you doing, Peter?
Speaking of anti, hey, how's it going? Great, nice intro for me there.
That's right. It's a great transition, Pete. I'll do that next time.
I appreciate it. I'd rather be known as the greatest quarterback in New York during the '90s who didn't play. But that's yeah. But be that as it may, I'm doing just fine.
All right, we got a lot to get to. One, let's talk about last week before we get to a bunch of really good games this week. Colorado needs a furious comeback, and they have to do it in overtime to get by Colorado State as north of 3 touchdown favorites. Now there's no Travis Hunter. This line against Oregon is shot up to 3 touchdowns, 21. Forget the cover. Any chance of them pulling off the unbelievable here and winning this out?
Absolutely. When you've got that offense, absolutely. And let's see if they're one of those teams that just needs the extra juice, that extra fuel. And they're obviously a grievance team. Where, like, oh, my gosh, you said something bad about, you know, you mocked my latte or something. And they'll get all upset about it. Like, that's kind of how they
work. Mocked my latte.
So, and it worked. Like, nobody believed in us against TCU. And, Matt Rhule said bad stuff about my daddy and all that kind of stuff. But they were supposed to crush Colorado State. And so as much as they kind of wanted to make something out of the sunglasses comment, which was totally taken out of context by Dane Orvell, it didn't quite work. Now they get to do the, hey, look, no one believes in us again thing. And that seems to be just enough. That doesn't make up for the fact that they have no defense. But still, with that offense, yeah, they can. And you guys would know better than I would. I've never seen anything like it.
No.
When it comes to the betting lines with Colorado. And I think the idea, the media, how they think of it, and the public, how they think of Colorado, and the betting public, how they think of Colorado, are three completely separate things. And it is just one of the weirdest things I can ever remember when it comes to trying to figure out lines.
Well, I will tell you that I love the story. I was very open about it on this show. I don't think I've ever said it about anything else where I rooted for something just for the content. And that was really it for Colorado. And I do have a Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter Heisman bets. Obviously, Hunter not looking good now at this point, but the Shedeur one does. At the number, I got 150-1. But, like, this was always the thing, even as this story has gone. This was where the rubber met the road, right? It's the Oregon-USC part of the schedule. So, I mean...
Well, sorry to cut you off, but the problem is your Shedeur bet. First of all, Travis Hunter, I told you that was never going to work. He's never going to win the Heisman. But Shedeur, like, the problem was he had a high... They had first in 98.
Yeah.
And he had a Heisman moment,
but it
was 2 a.m. on the East Coast, and no one saw it.
It was 2:30. Like, I mean, that's whose idea, Pete? And by the way, I talked about today, like, there's no day baseball, which is such a missed opportunity for baseball. Whose idea was it to just make that game as late as possible? It was so ridiculous.
I honestly assuming that everyone thought it was going to be 31-0 after the first quarter. I just, because Colorado State, what got weirded out in this whole thing is just how bad Colorado State has been for the last 4 years. And you're right. I mean, they should not have been close in this game. But that was a Heisman moment. And now let's see what happens. Because he gets Bo Nix. Because now the Heisman's going to shake out in the next 2 weeks. Because we have Bo Nix this week. If he rocks against that, he's got Caleb Williams coming to Colorado. And that's where that's going to happen. Not to pivot here, but if Sam Hartman, you want to talk about where you're getting Sam Hartman? If he blows up on Ohio State, because everyone's going to watch that, that might be an early favorite there as well. So this is all going to be kind of crazy pretty quick, because all those Pac-12 guys, they're all going to beat each other up. Every quarterback's going to throw for 350 yards every single game, and they're all going to kind of knock each other out. So who's going to rise up out of that whole pack when it comes to the Heisman betting?
All right, we got 4 minutes, so I want to do all this rapid fire, Pete. Colorado's adjusted season win total, by the way, 6.5. Remember, it was pre-flop 3.5. I don't need you to comment on that, but I want you to comment on Alabama's adjusted season win total, which is now 8.5. Are they going over that or not?
Of course they are. They're Alabama. They'll figure it out.
Of course you would say that, Pete. Yes.
They do, though. Every time I think they don't, then all of a sudden they end up playing and winning the national championship. Just they'll figure something out. They'll adjust, and they'll have that midseason thing. So, yes, they will definitely go over the 8.5.
Pete, you were minus 1,000 to say over on that. I wish I could have bet on that.
Duh. Well, because it's Alabama. Because you know what? There are so many receipts paid by Alabama for the last 10 years. If I'm wrong on this, I'm still up a gajillion on this call.
All right. Let's go through some of the great marquee games from this weekend. UCLA and Utah. The Utes favored by 4.5. Your thoughts?
I always take Utah at home, especially a close game like this. UCLA is absolutely the real deal, but until proven otherwise in this Pac-12 and this great year for the conference, keep taking the home team, especially if it's only 4.5.
All right. What about Ohio State and Notre Dame? Ohio State favored by 3.5.
Not even thinking, just throwing Ohio State, even though everyone I'm seeing likes Notre Dame. I, you know what, this might be the Texas-Alabama, you know, sort of Florida State-LSU, North Carolina curveball we've seen. I wouldn't be shocked if Notre Dame wins, but Ohio State, I'm always, you know me, I'm always going to take talent over the storyline.
All right, let's go back to Alabama. What about Ole Miss at Bama? The Crimson Tide favored by 7 here.
Oh, Mr. Alabama here, as I was saying all that hoo-ha, I want nothing to do with this game. Ole Miss is good. They've got an offense. Lane Kiffin's you want some of you could bet on Lane Kiffin being the next Bama head coach, do it, because that's going to happen in the next 3 years. I love this Ole Miss team. Bama's Bama at home. I never want to go against them. I want nothing to do with it. If I have to, I'm saying Bama, but not to cover.
Okay, with Alabama looking shaky, with a Georgia not exactly dominating opponents, is Texas the most complete team in the country, and are they worth a national championship bet?
Y'all didn't see them. You know, I talk about TV. No one saw that. It was on the Longhorn Network at the same time as Florida, Tennessee wrapping up, and just as Colorado was going. Texas was awful. Until the fourth. Whatever.
Yeah.
And the final score looked good. They're going to get beaten by someone, whether it's first of all, Texas. They're going to blow it. But if you want to talk about who looks complete right now?
Yes.
LSU. It might be too late. They can't lose another game. But if you're to go with your original thought and point, if Alabama's struggling and the SEC is looking really, really meh, LSU looked like a killer against Mississippi State, and Mississippi State's got a defense, and they couldn't do anything to stop that. So if LSU figured it out again, kind of like they did last year, they still got that big matzo ball hanging in the back at the end there if they get to the SEC championship like they did last season with Georgia. But they are looking really, really good.
Note, Kelly, that he did not say FSU. He said LSU.
Yes, that is correct. Yep.
Note that. My buddy was like, is Oklahoma worth it? I'm like, please, no, Oklahoma, do not do that. So LSU would be
I don't know. Are we sure? I mean, that offense all of a sudden is working again. I mean, Oklahoma, Texas is a toss-up at this point.
Yeah,
so
can't do it.
If you're thinking that, I get it. It's Oklahoma. They're not winning the national championship, but they're pretty good. Until proven otherwise, there are a couple under-the-radar teams. Ohio State, Penn State, and even Oklahoma, Penn State, and to a certain extent, we'll find out this week, Notre Dame.
Thank you, Pete.
Those three. Later, guys.
Appreciate it. Pete Futak, at Pete Futak, FIUTAK on Twitter. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN shows are clashing. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win at stake a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 10% when you sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription and use promo code ANG. That's a numbers game. ANG, bragging rights, and a juicy futures ticket is on the line. It's time to start betting smarter and help us do the same. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription. Save 10% with promo code ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Now, I asked you this on air yesterday, and you were like, off-air conversation, Gil. Do you know how this works now? So
yeah, we just need people to sign up.
Well, yes, but the part about the futures ticket. So then if they...
Nah, I reread Bill's email. I still don't really
fully
get it.
You still don't understand it? I thought I was going, great, I'll ask Kelly. He knows now. No, he doesn't know now.
I sent it to you, though, too, if you want to check it out.
I think it's the winning show from that pool,
yes,
then they do some kind of
lottery. They didn't say what happens to the last place show, though. We might, sign up, because I don't want to be on the chopping block, okay? If we don't win $1,000, that's
relegation.
One thing. Yeah, last place show, yeah.
Relegation.
We might get relegated even further, yeah.
I have a tennis play today.
Oh, yeah, you
which
do.
Which we forgot
yes.
to do. In Guadalajara, Mexico. This is a 1,000 tournament, but it's like the next best
really?
Thing to a slam, but everybody pulled out.
I've learned so much about these tennis tournaments the past few months.
You're welcome. You're quite welcome.
It says, I knew immediately that 1,000 was a higher level tournament than the 500 they played in San Diego last week.
That's correct. But you know what? Not really a great field as far as thousands are concerned, because everybody pulled out of this. Like 5 different players have pulled out.
Did you say Mexico City?
Guadalajara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Still elevation, for sure.
That's where I was going to bring it up. Okay.
Alicia Parks is north of $3 versus Anne Jabeur. This should not be anywhere close to this price. I am playing Alicia Parks at plus 314. It's at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific is when it's scheduled for. You know how tennis goes. Might be around there. Might be a little later. But Anne Jabeur has not been herself. She has been playing shaky tennis. This is a reputation line, nothing to do with current form, and there is no reason for this price to be what it is. Should Parks be the dog? Of course she should be. But plus 314, you gots to take a shot at that. Alicia Parks, whose hard court numbers are solid, Anne Jabeur's have not been. Alicia Parks, plus 314, your tennis play of the day, and a big dog at that. All right. Let me read a couple tweets first before we get to our updated power rankings. A lot of tweets today. We really appreciate it all. And the quality is so good. The best listeners of any show on any planet, in any galaxy, in any Milky Way, in any galaxy. I don't know what I'm doing. Scott, New York Mets 16. Does Colorado have the team speed to compete with the big boys of the Pac-10? He says Pac-10. Sanders, I'm going to go Pac-8 while we're at it. Pac-4, really, or Pac-2. Sanders got run down from behind several times by D linemen on Colorado State. They can score, but the explosive plays may start to dwindle, if I am correct. Thoughts? Your opinion is shared by most New York Mets. I don't think there's many people who believe they can pull it off in this one, ergo the market price. Bill Hooker, Warrick Dunn, you forgot. Great athlete, even better human being. FSU greats. Warrick Dunn. Mm-hmm. What a great college football career. I thought he was going to be so good in the pros. He was okay. He was a good pro. And then finally, Phil Weiss is like, just say uncle already about Strider. It's not me who didn't say uncle. It's Mark Borcher didn't say
uncle. We said uncle.
Believe me, we said uncle a long time ago. And then SoCal Fantasy, I love the music in the background. Sounds like you're headed to commercial the entire segment. That's why we keep you on your toes. So we're doing. It could be going to commercial right now.
Don't go anywhere.
What about right now?
Yeah.
You never know. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our week. Between week 2 and week 3, power rankings in the NFL.
Boom.
Plug it in. Let's plug it in. 107.5 The Bone. It's an actual...
I like that you keep 103.1 The Buzz.
107.5 The Bone is actually a station in San Francisco.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's a rock and roll station.
Yeah, I keep naming the one in South Florida.
107.5 The Bone. At least it used to be. I don't know what it is now. I'm like, my radio days stopped like 10 years ago. So it's like... All right. So Kelly was saying this earlier, and I think this is true. After week 1, you really don't know anything because you have the one data point. We probably don't know that much right now, but it's a little more solidified. And I do want to say that my top 10 after week 1, which some might have said was a little shaky, that kind of bore out nicely. Let me just give you what my updated top 10 are. And again, why do we do power rankings? Everybody should do rankings and ratings in every sport that they handicap to have a baseline to go off of. I've got the Niners still at number 1.
And this is the most basic way to do it, but we've been doing it for, what, 3-4 years now together?
Yep.
And it's like, it's still insanely interesting to me every week we do this. Because like you said, week 1, it was like, well, there's more than 10 good teams. How do I possibly rank all these? And then, like, this week, it's like, we're already at the point of, like, I don't know who's 9 and 10. Who knows?
Oh, it contextualizes the league for you. And you realize God, do most teams suck or are like really mediocre?
Or and then, you know, we're just past week two and it's like, well, I got to take this team out because this guy got injured already, right? He's out for the year.
That too. Or it's also like we're past week two and we're like, well, I can tell you all the playoff teams already.
Right.
or generally. I have the Niners number one. They were number one after week one. They remain number one. They're still the most complete team in football to me. The Chiefs remain number two. Yeah, I get it. They're 1-1. They're still the Chiefs, though. They still have Patrick Mahomes, last I checked. They will be number two unless events dictate otherwise for me. Cowboys and Eagles flip. Cowboys go to 3. Eagles go to 4. Cowboys still haven't played anybody, but it's only 2 weeks. But the Cowboys have been so complete on offense and defense. So they get the nod over the Eagles. Eagles are still great. They're number 4. So you have three NFC teams in the top 4. Niners, Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles, and then Dolphins remain at number 5 for me. They were 5 last week. They remain number 5. They're 2-0. Two road wins for the Dolphins at the Chargers, at the Patriots. Pretty darn good opponents, too, that they win both on the road. They have to be number 5. I got the Bills moving up from 7 to 6. I was not willing to knock the Bills out after their loss to the Jets. I still think they're among the best teams in the NFL. I got the Ravens moving up to number 7. They were in my top 10 last week. I've got them up at number 7. This organization, Kelly, just remains solid year after year. And Lamar Jackson looks great.
Yep.
I got the Jaguars moving up from 10 to 8. Even with their loss to the Chiefs, I think they put in a great defensive performance. They're number 8. Now, here's where it got difficult for me.
Yes.
Well, actually,
we have the same 8 teams in our top 8.
Oh, we do.
They're just mixed around.
Oh, yep. Interesting. I had to put the Rams at number 9. Go crazy. I know a lot of you are like, what? You have the Rams at number 9? They crushed the Seahawks on the road and led the Niners deep into the second quarter. And it was a one-score game until late against the Niners. You tell me who else deserves to be number 9, if not the Rams. I got the Rams at number 9, and then 10 was really difficult. Believe it or not, I struggled to prevent myself from putting the Chargers at number 10, because in my heart of hearts, do I believe they're worse than 10? Probably not, but they can't win football games no matter what they do. So I got the Seahawks at 10. Yes, they got crushed by the Rams, but they bounced back nicely at Detroit. I got the Seahawks at number 10. Teams on the outside looking in do include teams like the Chargers and the Patriots and the Lions and teams of that ilk. No Browns because of the Chubb injury, and they weren't in my top 10 last week. No Bengals last week. They're certainly not in it this week either. You
mentioned Patriots there.
Yeah.
Like you would still have them like 12, 13 somewhere
there? They're in the top 15 for me.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think they're there. I don't even think they're top 15
for me. Oh, okay. What do you
outside looking in is almost as interesting as
it
discussion
is, because there's a handful of those and then it drops off a cliff. By the way, Washington, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, all 3-2-0s, they're not in that group to me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start. I'll go the other way then. I'm going to start 10 and 9.
Okay.
Because I had the same battle in my mind. It's like, what do you put in 9, 10? I was like, you know what? I'm not dropping the Bengals completely out of it until like Joe Burrow is not playing anymore.
He might not.
So I had left him right at 10. It was my easy way of slotting someone in at 10. And then I put the Seahawks 9.
Okay, we had 9 out of 10 the same.
Yeah, I understand why you went Rams there. And last week, if you guys were watching this at all, I had 3 NFC teams at the top, and then the rest of it was AFC teams. So, like, that is how some of the AFC teams have been affected, whether by injury or whatever, has shaken this up a little bit. That's why Seahawks are really in there and coming off of a bye off from the Lions. Jaguars kind of just get moved up.
Kind of.
Based off of just, you know, teams falling out, right?
Drift.
So they go up, and I'm not really going to punish them for losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. So they're at 8-7. I went Bills kind of out of it week one, whatever. They're still a very good defensive team. I think they belong in this top 10, especially as teams are falling out. So 7, I'm with you on the Ravens, man. I mean, that's a team that I thought people were over, making too much out of the coordinator change in the offseason, but at the same time, like, I do expect that team's going to be way better. And John Harbaugh's still a great head coach. Dolphins 5. We have the same top 5. Dolphins 5, Chiefs 4 for me. I kept the NFC teams at the top. I will keep them there until one of them loses, I think. Cowboys number 1 for me, though.
What does this tell us? That it's pretty static already. Like, we have 9 of the top 10 similar? It's interesting.
Yeah.
Happened last year like this, too. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.